Leviticus 25, verse number 10, says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." It's good to be here today. We appreciate you listening in. And this is the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. And this is brought to you by the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, located in Vilas, North Carolina, just a few miles outside of Boone. And we want to take just a moment to invite you, if you are in the area and you do not have a church home, we would love for you to come and to visit with us. You can find out all kinds of information on our church website, mountlebanonbc.org. And I had somebody just recently ask me about radio broadcasts that they had missed and maybe wanted to hear. We're doing a series on your liberty, your health, and the Bible. And if you have missed some of these broadcasts and you'd like to go back and listen to them, you can go to our church website, mountlebanonbc.org, and you can go back for about 5 years, just as far as you want to go. But if you go under the radio tab, you can find the broadcast that you want to listen to. So we wanted to mention that this morning, but I want to say hello to Noah. He's here with us, and how are you today, Noah?
I'm doing all right.
Good.
Glad to be here.
A little cold?
A little under the weather, but that's all right.
Just stay on that side.
I will.
Okay.
And we do want to say welcome to all our listeners. Glad to have them. Always glad to have them with us this today. And those who are listening in right here on AM 1450 WATA out of Boone, North Carolina. Those who listen in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia, and our listeners on KPGT 89.1 FM, The Truth, out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all of our listeners, and like we said, it's a blessing to be able to do this each and every week. Of course, here on WATA, we're live every Tuesday, and we have been doing that for, coming up on 6 years. And so that's you know, time flies by, and so we enjoy it quite a bit, and I appreciate the opportunity. We're in the midst of a little series we've called Your Liberty, Your Health, and the Bible, and we're talking about the subject. You know, we talk about a lot of things here on Blessings of Liberty, usually just right around the subject of liberty and what the Bible says, and we start every week with Leviticus 25:10, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. But if you lose your liberty, if you lose your health, you in large part lose your liberty. You lose the freedom to go and do as you please, to serve, to work, to travel, to be active, and you become almost a slave to unhealthiness. You know, you can't go, you can't do. It's very expensive. I know a lot of times people say, well, I can't afford to eat healthy. Have you tried being sick? Do you know how much it costs to go to the doctor? Do you know how much, and if you do, you know, prescriptions and things like that. And so this is something that I just wanted to take some time here in the spring and deal with. We, at the very beginning, we went to the book of Genesis. We gave seven foundations that you find in the Bible for healthy living. Now, your health is something that you can control in part. And what I mean by that, you can be a good steward over your health. You can take care of it. And many times we don't think much about it until it's gone or until we get sick and something happens. And then all of a sudden we're interested in being healthy. But if we are a good steward over our health, we'll think about that before we get sick, before we come down with some kind of self-inflicted disease. None of us could help being in a car wreck this afternoon, but we could help what we do and how we live and what we eat and if we exercise or if we don't. The seven foundations for healthy living that we mentioned at the very beginning, I'm going to just quickly go over those again today. We talked about the importance of pure air. We talked about water, how important that is to your health. All these things we find in the first two chapters of the book of Genesis. We talked about food. We talked about the original diet that God gave to Adam and Eve. And then we looked at other places in the Bible and what the Bible says about what we should eat. And a verse I always think of is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. It says, "For whatsoever ye do, whether ye eat or drink, do all to the glory of God." So if we would do these things to God's glory, we would find out there would be no contradiction in what we were doing, what we were eating, what we were drinking. Then we talked about sunshine, how important sunshine is, vitamin D. And of course, fresh air goes along with that. Something else that goes along with that we talked about last week, exercise, how important it is and how that God made man that he would make his bread or he would get bread by the sweat of his brow. And God made us to work and God made us to be active. And we live in a society that you don't have to be active. We're not like our grandparents where they had to work hard in order to survive. Many people maybe could go throughout the whole week and never break a sweat. This is not good for us. So we talked about that. Now today we're going to talk about rest. We think about rest. I'm going to read in Genesis chapter number 2. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. This is very interesting to me. And I never really noticed this until I begin to study about what the Bible says about our health and what we can do to have good health. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." And so what that is talking about in Genesis chapter number 2, that is talking about the Sabbath day. And on the Sabbath day, after God created the world, mankind, all the animals, everything in the world, on the seventh day, the Bible says God rested. Now, I want to say God did not rest on the seventh day because he was tired and needed to rest. He rested on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath day, which is actually Saturday. Saturday is the seventh day of the week. Sunday is the first day of the week, but he rested on the Sabbath day in order that the Sabbath would be set aside as a day of rest, and that man would be benefited and blessed by a day of rest. Now, I would say there are some that may wonder if this type of a study is spiritual enough. You know, what has this got to do with the Bible? You know, if you preach the Bible, shouldn't you just preach John 3:16, "God so loved the world"? Well, of course, that's the most important message in the Bible. But there's 66 books in the Bible. There's a lot of instruction in the Bible, and the Bible is for our instruction. And so is this spiritual enough to be talking about these things? Why would a preacher be talking about health? Why would he be taking time to talk about air and water and food and diet and sunshine and exercise and all of these things? I believe we are in error when we begin to divide our lives into spiritual/secular. This is spiritual. This is non-spiritual. This belongs to God. This belongs to me. And that's what a lot of people basically do in their lives. When we basically say spiritual things, that's for God. Secular things or physical things, that's for me. I remember one time when I was a little boy and I was out playing with some of my friends, and one of my friends said a bad word. and it was on Saturday. Now, I'm a little boy. I bet I wasn't 8 or 9 years old, 10 years old, something like that. Well, my friend, he said a word, and to us at that time, that's a bad word. And I said, you shouldn't cuss on Sunday. I remember saying that. And he looked at me and he said, Sunday is no different than any other day of the week. And you know, that's true. I have always remembered that. God knows what day. Sunday's no more than any other day as far as doing something wrong. It's all alike in the sight of God. But sometimes, you know, my way of thinking, evidently, I don't think I thought this, but I guess I thought it was more wrong to say something bad on Sunday than any other day of the week. But if you are a child of God, there should be no such thing as this is my day, this is the Lord's day. There's no room for that in the sanctified life, the life that is dedicated to serving the Lord. Every day ought to be lived for Him. Everything we do ought to be done for the glory of God. Our bodies and how we manage our bodies ought to be dedicated unto the Lord. Now, what does the Bible have to say about this? Here is a verse of Scripture. This is one of my favorites, and I've used it for many, many years, and God used it on me, or used it to work in my life as a young Christian. And Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so all of our lives are to be sanctified. And when we use the word sanctified, what I mean by that, it ought to be set apart and dedicated unto the Lord. That's what that word sanctified means. And the Bible says that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Not just our mind, not just our spirit, but your body. You have to have your body to go anywhere. You have to have your body to do anything. And so your body is important unto the Lord. In fact, I want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. It says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? Now what he's saying there, the Holy Ghost, if you're a child of God, the Holy Ghost, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. So your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God. And then look what it says, and ye are not your own. Well, people have the attitude, I'm my own person. I can go as I please, do as I please. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. But if you belong to the Lord, you are not your own. Then it says, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So our body and our spirit belongs unto the Lord. We're not our own. We're bought with a price, is what the Bible says. We're the Lord's. He bought us. We belong to Him. So we ask the question, is this spiritual enough to study? Is this worth studying at? Is it worth mentioning? Yes, it is. Anything the Bible speaks upon, God intends for us to be in the know about. And so I think a lot of Christians would be a whole lot better off if they knew what the Bible said about our health. We don't have to just take things by chance and hope it works out. There are things we do that if we reap good or we reap bad. And that applies to our body as well. Now, in Genesis chapter number 2, our Creator designed us, made us with a day of rest in mind. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, those verses that I read, that He blessed and He sanctified a day of rest. Now, I want you to think about this. That was before the fall of man. That was before sin entered into the world. Before sin came into the world, God had already ordained and sanctified and set apart a day of rest, What that means is Adam and Eve in a perfect, sinless environment. They had already been designed, and God had already put into the program that there would be a day of rest. The day of rest is not the result of sin. The day of rest is there to be a blessing, to be a blessing to mankind, to be a blessing to Adam and Eve and all that would come after them. The word rest, if you look it up in the dictionary, it means cessation of motion, as rest from labor, rest from mental exertion, rest of body or mind. Proper rest is absolutely necessary physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And we're going to look at some examples of this in this study. I may have to go in on into next week concerning this. We'll just see how the time plays out. But you think about that. Rest. God made us, and He instituted from the very beginning that man would have a day of rest. God knew we needed that physically, but not just physically. Somebody said, well, I don't work on Sunday, or I have a day off on the weekend, or a lot of times people have 2 days off now on the weekend. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you're resting. In fact, what are we doing in America today? We are going and going and going. And maybe you don't work, but you get off work and you rush over here and you rush over there. And you got ball games and you got activities and you got places to go. And, you know, sometimes, and I've noticed this, and maybe you have as well, if I'm going to be out of town or even go on vacation, I've got to work twice as hard before I go, and I've got to work twice as hard when I get back to catch up from what I didn't do. And while I'm gone, we're running around trying to pack in and cram in everything under the sun, and you come back from vacation, you're more wore out than you were before you went. You defeated the purpose. You didn't have any rest. You've got to have some rest physically, mentally, emotionally. People say, well, I'm not doing anything. I'm resting. But if you're running through a iPod, a computer, a laptop, and all that stuff's occupying your mind, there's no rest there. If you take time and read, just take time sometime and read through the book of Psalms, and notice there King David especially, his devotional spirit that he had. He knew how to set and be still before the Lord, and this refreshed him. It quickened him. It revived him. Psalms chapter 46 and verse number 10, I love that verse. It said, be still and know that I am God. We have a hard time just being still, just getting quiet and putting aside the distractions that we might hear the voice of God. Now let me read over in Mark chapter 6. I want to read some verses over here. This might be surprising to you. Mark chapter 6, and I'm not going to give all of the background, but I've been preaching through the book of Mark, and I'll just say this, the disciples and the Lord Jesus had been very, very busy. They were going and going, and people were coming to them. And I mean the popularity of Jesus because of his healing power, and everybody that came, he touched, he healed, they went away whole. Can you imagine if that happened in our day and time? And so Jesus and the disciples, they couldn't get away from everybody, and it was wearing them out. And in Mark chapter 6, verse 30, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. They were so busy with people coming and going, they couldn't even sit down and have a meal. And it was the Lord Jesus Christ that told the disciples, come aside and rest a while. The Lord Jesus knew they needed some time to rest. It was very important. They'd been extremely busy. All the things that they had done in verse number 30, And then they were so busy that they couldn't even eat in verse number 31. They were under a lot of stress. In verse 29, it said, when his disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse and laid it in a tomb. And that was talking about John the Baptist being beheaded. And so they had a lot of trouble. Have you ever thought about that? They had a lot of problems. They were under stress. They had a lot of work that had to be done. And so the Lord saw this. And the Lord went to the disciples and he said, you need to come aside and rest for a little while. How interesting that is. The Lord Jesus saw how important it was and knew that the disciples needed some time to rest. The word rest going on, it means this. It means to be quiet. It means to repose. Like I said a moment ago, be still and know that I am God. Repose means sort of recline, set back, take it easy. It means a state free from motion or disturbance. A state of reconciliation to God. Now, that's the old definition out of a Webster's 1828 dictionary. And so a state of reconciliation to God. Spiritual work, physical work, mental, office work. People do different types of work. I was in the hospital visiting yesterday, and I got on the elevator, and there was another preacher on there. And so we had just a moment to speak before the elevator stopped, and I had to get off. But he said, are you working hard? And I said, this is the hardest type of work there is. And boy, how true that is. I would much rather chop firewood. I'd much rather work in the garden physically. I'd much rather mow the lawn. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying I don't like what God has called me to do. But what I'm saying is spiritual work is far harder than physical work. It is hard to go to the hospital as a pastor or a friend, a relative, anybody, not just as a pastor, but it's hard to go and to see people hurting, to see people sick, to see people distraught. All of these things, spiritual work is very hard work, trying to minister and help to others. Somebody else might work very hard physically, and they're out in the weather and they're out in the storms and things like this. Or maybe somebody works in an office and they're using their mind all day long and they're consumed with that. It does not matter what type of work you do. If you do not get the proper amount of rest when you need it, you will burn out. It will affect you physically, spiritually, and mentally. And as we've said many times before, if you lose your health, you lose a lot of other things besides your health. You lose your liberty. You lose your desire. You lose your effectiveness. You just can't go and do what you want to do. So losing your health is a very serious thing. So Jesus told the disciples, he said, you need to come aside and you need to rest for a little while. Matthew chapter 11, I'm going to read some verses over there. Matthew chapter 11 and verses 28 through 30. Look what the Bible says. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so the Lord Jesus there, he's talking about having burdens. Burdens will make you sick. They'll wear you down. They'll get you where you can't think straight. You can't rest. You can't sleep at night. It just tear you all to pieces. And Jesus said, come unto me, I'll give you rest. He knew how important rest was. He was talking to people that had a burden and a weight of sin in their lives. He was talking to people that had trouble. He was talking to people that their life and their mind was so full that they couldn't even lay down and rest and sleep at night, and they were worried. I told my wife this morning, we were talking about something, and I said, very soon I'm going to preach a message entitled, Don't Worry About It. Seems like I'm saying that to people all the time. And there's always all kinds of things going on. and she said something to me, and I said, don't worry about it. And I'm going to preach a message one of these days soon, as soon as the Lord will let me. Don't worry about it. Worry will kill you. Worry will rob you of your rest. Worry will, now I'm not going to say it'll make your hair turn gray, because I've got a head full of it. That's genetic. But I think it does give a look. I think if you worry, it does put that much stress upon you. But Jesus said, come unto me and I will give you rest. I remember years ago, somebody gave me a book by a man whose name is Allen. And he was a Methodist or a Presbyterian pastor. And he had a background as in psychology, psychiatrist, something along those lines. But he regularly dealt with people and counseled with them concerning problems and things of that nature. But he had a different type of prescription when people would come to him. And he had a gentleman come to him, and this man, he was worrying, fretting. He couldn't sleep at night. He just had all kinds of problems in his life. And Mr. Allen said, all right, I'm going to write you a prescription. And so he sat down and he wrote out Psalms 23, verses 1 through 6. And he said, read this first thing upon arising in the morning. Read this right after breakfast. Read this in the middle of the day. And read this before you go to bed at night. And he said, I'm writing this just like a doctor. This is a prescription. If I was a doctor and I gave you a prescription and told you to take a pill at a certain time of day, you would do it. He said, I want you to do this. And he said, come back and see me in 2 weeks. The man did it. He came back. He had a great testimony. He said, you know, the Lord helped me. I seen the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And he had memorized Psalms chapter number 23, and it had healed him of his anxiety, stress, and worry, so that he was able to function properly. I read another story about a man who could not worry, and I mean, he could not sleep. He was worrying all the time. He picked up his Bible and he was reading it one night. He couldn't sleep. He come across Psalms 121, verse number 4. The Bible said, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. And he read that again. He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. And he said that he looked up and he prayed to the Lord. He said, Lord, since you're up anyway, I'll just go to bed and sleep, not worry about it. God was awake. God knew what was going on. Psalms 127, verse number 2. The Bible says, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for he giveth his beloved sleep. The Bible says it's vain, it's empty, it's worth nothing to get up early, to sit up late, to sit around and eat the bread of sorrows. Isn't that a beautiful picture of what we do sometimes, just sit around and worry and eat the bread of sorrows? Well, a lot of things we could say along those lines. I'm going to stop right there, though. But we've just dealt in the Bible today, what the Bible says about rest and how important it is. And God intends for us not to be tore up all the time, not to be all to pieces. But the Bible says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That is not a mind that is troubled like a sea with a storm upon it, but it's a calm picture. And so the Lord knows, and he gives his beloved rest and sleep, and we're thankful for that. It's very important. Next week we'll talk a little further about this. But we do appreciate you listening in today. Noah's going to come give the contact information, and we just hope you have a great day. And like I said, we appreciate you listening in. Hope that God will bless you, and we desire your prayers.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church that's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.